Good morning, Krista, compulsive overeater. A little anxious and grateful to be here. A couple of months ago, I think I talked to one of the secretaries and she was like, "Do you want to speak at the meeting?" And I was like, "I'm kind of new to this." And she's like, "Oh, we'll put you down for November." And I was like, "Sure, if I'm still abstinent, happy to speak in November." And then this week got the text and I was like, "Oh, goodness." And very grateful to still be abstinent. So what I'm going to talk about is really nothing special. It's nothing that you guys haven't heard. It's nothing that a lot of you haven't experienced. My story is really no different than anyone else's. And that is the first lesson I've learned in OA since I've been here is humility. And that has been huge for me is to learn that I'm not the worst person in the world. I am not horrific and terrible. And this is what I have truly honest. And my cat came to join us. And this is what I've believed for years and years and years. And I think humility has really taught me that we've all had our struggles and we've all had our able to have our successes. So we start at the beginning. Growing up, I was the youngest of three kids, and from the very early age, I was a compulsive overeater. I truly believe I was born a food addict, a compulsive overeater. There's pictures of me 2 years old. I am overweight. My siblings weren't, but I was. I grew up in a very unhealthy home, lots of unpredictable anger. Nobody shared feelings, nobody shared what was going on. And so I ate. And as a little kid, I would sneak down into the pantry and I would binge on my grandfather's diabetic desserts. And whatever was in the house, that's what I would do. I was put in the role of caretaker as my family. My grandmother had Alzheimer's. My grandfather had diabetes. It was my job to kind of take care of everyone. Everyone else in my family was very introverted. So I was kind of put in charge of taking care of everyone because I wasn't very introverted. You guys know that by now. So since we didn't share feelings, and we didn't talk about what was going on, I would eat, and my mom would work long hours, and she would come home and call on her way home at night and say, "I'm on my way home," and I'd beg her to bring fast food. And that's kind of where it all started. A lot the fast food and the junk food all the time, to kind of make up for the fact that we lived in this really unhealthy home. And I just got bigger and bigger, and I like many others, I got bullied, I got teased, I got really bullied. I was afraid to get on the school bus because of things that were done to me on the school bus. So I would make excuses to get rides to school or get to school real early. Started people pleasing at a very early age. With my teachers, I'd get there and take care of the classrooms, whatever. Just so that I had a healthy place to be. And that's kind of what school was. And I just kept eating to the point where, like a lot of others who were very overweight at a young age, we had to go to the special stores, when it was eighth grade graduation and quinceañeras and, the bat mitzvahs and the sweet 16s. We had to drive an hour, just to get the dresses that would fit. I had a good group of friends in high school, but they also were very introverted. So I was lonely a lot. I didn't go out a lot. And so what did I do? Again, I ate. Loneliness is definitely a pattern, in my eating. And then, after go to college and then after college, what do I have? I have a car and I have a job and I have an income. And so what can I do is I can drive and go get the food. And at this point, I would go out for dinner with my coworkers, my friends, and I would have a meal before I even went out with them because you have to pre-eat before you eat. And then on my way home, I would grab something. I had high blood pressure, I had sleep apnea, I had migraines. My doctors, of course, wanted me to lose the weight. And I tried all the diets, right? I tried the no carb one. I tried the points one. The points one was terrible for me because the points one taught me that I could eat huge amounts of 0 point foods, and have all these points left over at the end of the day. So then guess what I could do? I could eat. So that was a really unhealthy one for me. And there was a lot of things I couldn't do because of my weight. In eighth grade, I remember I was at, you New Yorkers may remember Ride Playland, with my friends, and I got kicked off the roller coaster because the roller coaster wouldn't close. So imagine that memory as an eighth grader with all your little friends. And then things like that, post college would happen too, where I'd be invited out to dinner and I'd have to Google the restaurant so I could look at the chairs. Am I going to fit in the chairs? They want to eat outside at the restaurant, and those chairs were always the worst, right? The arms of those chairs were terrible, and I wouldn't go, and I lost out on going on a lot of social activities, work trips I wouldn't go on. My best friend moved to Chicago and I went out to visit her, and the woman at the airline was like, you're lucky we're letting you fly this time. You need to buy two seats. And so I stopped flying. So I stopped visiting my friends. I missed out on weddings. I missed out on a lot in life because of my size. In 2021, I had bariatric surgery. So I had gastric sleeve surgery. And after the surgery, some of the most important things after surgery are getting enough fluid in because a lot of people get dehydrated. And my doctor was so impressed with how great I was at getting my fluid in and then getting my protein in. Of course I was. I didn't know it at the time, but I was a compulsive consumer. I can cons please, I can put stuff in my face, right? I can, even if it's the protein stuff that after bariatric surgery they're having you do, I could do that. I could get that in. And I think when I talk about bariatric surgery, it was an important tool for me. I never would have gotten to OA. I'll get there, but I never would have gotten to here if I didn't have that. Because I really learned that about my addiction. With bariatric surgery, it's just a tool. It's not the answer. If anybody asked me, like, should I do OA or bariatric surgery? Obviously, I mean, if you have a food addiction, this is where you need to be. But it was an important tool for me because it did help me not overeat in one sitting. Yeah, so it's just another tool. And I bring up bariatric surgery because I think a lot of people sometimes have a negative connotation. Oh, you took the easy way out. Or when people say things like, I lost so and so amount of weight naturally, like that can be kind of harmful for people who are using other, their tools. So I just kind of like to say that. But bariatric surgery wasn't the only answer because after that, I was still obsessed with food. I could still, I could still eat more than I should. I could eat more often than I should. And then, really, for me, it was about my brain. It was about the food, thinking about the food all the time. And I went back to my surgeon and I said to him, oh, God, I'm just still obsessed with the food. And he's like, oh, but look at how much weight you lost. You're doing great. And I'm like, okay, but I'm kind of suffering because I'm still thinking about the food. And he was like, nah, you're doing great. It's all fine. And then I went back to my surgeon again. I was like, listen, like, this is a problem. So I tried therapy. And my therapist suggested I go to an OA meeting. Again, this is 3 years ago. So I went to one meeting one time, and it was just happened to be the wrong meeting for me. It was a bunch of people, and they were all just talking about their exact weights and how much they had lost. And I didn't want a weight loss group. I wanted a program that I could really work on my food obsession. So I never came back. Well, for years. And then my surgeon was like, "Let's try the shots." So I tried the shots. All the shots do are maybe make you not as hungry, but if you're a compulsive overeater, you still want to eat. It doesn't matter if you're hungry, right? I'm sure many of us have had many times in our lives where we ate even when we weren't hungry. So the shots, the pills, the surgery, none of that stopped my food obsession. So on March 18th of 2024, I had enough and I went on OA.org and I tried again and I came into a meeting. I found a meeting and I went in. And they said in that meeting, try before you decide whether or not OA is right for you, try six different meetings on six different days. And I said, oh, okay, sure. And that's what I did. I went to six different meetings. That week, I also went to an in-person meeting. I'm very grateful that I have an in-person meeting on Saturdays, about 10 minutes from me. I'm also very grateful that my best friend in Chicago is in her own recovery program for a different 12-step program, and she has a lot of years behind her. And so I knew that recovery worked. I knew that 12-step worked. And I would call her up, and I remember calling her up before I went to my first in-person meeting. And I was like, oh God, what do I do? How is that going to work? And she told me all about what to expect. So I decided to do 90-90. And I haven't stopped yet. I'm a little over my 90-90 because I've gone to a meeting every day since March 18th. And it's what's working for me. So, I went to my in-person meetings and I found somebody who had what I needed and a sponsor. And it was very scary. And I asked her to be my sponsor. And she said to me, how much recovery do you want? And I said, I want it all. And so she said, okay, so every day you're going to text me your food plan for the next day. And every day, and I was like, great, fine, got it. Every day you're going to read literature. Great, fine, got it. Every day you're going to write and you're going to send it to me. Great, fine, got it. Every day you're going to call two people. Wait, what? What? You mean text, right? I can. No, you're going to call two people. And she's like, Krista, I don't count. So you are going to call two people from the rooms. You're going to call two OA people and you're going to make outreach calls every single day. And that scared the crud out of me. But I saw a lot of recovery in the room. By then, I had started coming to these meetings too. And I saw a lot of recovery in here. And I started calling people and you guys answered and you guys talked to me and you shared your stories and your recovery and your hope with me. And then every time, probably the first 3 months of making phone calls, every single time I made a phone call, I was terrified and I was anxious and my heart raced and it was really, really scary. And I still did it. And I'm really grateful for that part of the program because I think that is what has kept me here. The connections with everyone. I have met a lot of amazing people in this room. I've been able to meet some of you outside of this room and develop friendships. And there are people in here that we don't have to just talk about OAs. How are things going in life? I think, growing up, we weren't taught to be honest. We weren't taught to share our lives. We weren't taught to share our feelings. So it's still something that to me is new. And when I come in here and I say I had a bad day and you guys reach out and say, well, do you want to talk about it? I'm like, ooh, talk about my day, talk about what's going on in my
5 minutes,
life.
Krista.
Thanks, Judy. And I do it and it helps. And that's so weird to me. I think trying to, I'm working on step nine right now, and a lot of my amends is about lying. And so as I work this program, what's important to me is honesty, openness, willingness. My willingness is when my sponsor suggests something, I try it. When you guys suggest something, I try it. I may not always like it, and it might be scary. A lot of times it's scary, even when it's about sharing my feelings or sharing my day or, well, Krista, have you thought about this? So I try it. My relationship with my higher powers is huge. You guys hear me talk about my higher powers. My higher powers for me is a group. It's my God, and it's two best friends and a mentor who all passed away within 1 year of each other. I lost a lot of people. There was 1 year of my life. I lost a lot of people, and also my mom. So all of these amazing women who I've lost in my life and my God are my higher powers. And they always have time for me, and they always love me, and they always support me. So I think my story is just a newcomer story, because I've only been doing this, for since March. I have my abstinence date is April 22nd, so I have over 6 months abstinent, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I eat my three meals a day. I don't eat outside of that. I've told all of my friends about program and how I eat my meals. We no longer do the things like if we're having like game day, we don't do like buffet game day where there's food sitting around because that's a trigger for me. Instead, we go out and have a meal and then we come back and we play games. They know that if we're gonna go out for dinner, I need to know ahead of time where we're going because I'm going to look up that menu and I'm going to tell my sponsor what I'm going to have. That's what works for me, is committing to my food plan. It helps me to not think about food because last night I already committed what I'm going to eat today. I don't need to think. I don't need to sit around and be like, ooh, but what am I going to have here? What am I going to have here? I already committed my food plan today. I don't need to think about food. That has been really helpful for me. Knowing I'm going to reach out to people in this room, is helpful for me, even though sometimes it's still a little scary and sometimes I'm tired and don't want to do it, but I always still do it. So that is my story. And I think if I could just share a little hope for the newcomer is just keep coming back. And I may not love myself yet, but I don't hate myself anymore. And that's a huge leap for me. And that's it. I hope you all have a beautiful day. Thank you so much for letting me share.